I know about him very much, and I found in his book the guidance to understand that these are stories. I'm telling you the stories because I want to teach you something else. Therefore, in this book, I dare to say, give me one example, that there is a man and a woman, and they do not represent something that I'm telling you. And to emphasize that, I dare to do something that I hope I'll be forgiven, because nobody taught it to me. The thing that we are there. What are we doing now here? We don't know. What are we doing now? We read this book, not to the end, to somewhere.
Yes.
And that somewhere is not even a paragraph. It's a middle of a paragraph, and I dare to say, this is it, let's go back. This is half of the book. Right? And in this story, Rumi clearly will say that the story of a man and a woman was just a narration. This is the symbol of intelligence, the other one the symbol of ego. That's why I dare to say it, because I found it, and he emphasizes that. Right? So in here, I firmly believe that the story is narrated to convey another meaning. That's why that historical event is changed here. Because he's not a historian. He doesn't want to convey the history to us. He wants to convey an idea. The idea of what? Do you remember how I go back always? I insist upon it, and I hope you will do it again and again. First of all, whenever somebody is talking and I have a problem with some detail, I go back, right at the beginning. And I repeated the first verse of the book, which is not really the first one, because Rumi does this. There is something that maybe shortly we could see it here, because somebody in San Francisco is... some group of people are working on it, to make a diagram. Make it visual. Then you will see Rumi choose these titles for each paragraph. But the first paragraph of each book doesn't have a title. And I call it number zero, not number one. Because that's the opening of the book. And Rumi meant it to be like that. Therefore, the first paragraph to me is not listen to the read. Is listen, my friends. Listen to this story, because this is the narration or explanation of our what? How. Could you say it in English?
Yes.
Because when you say hall in English, you have two choices. You have to say now or feeling. Both are the same in that language, and Rumi is playing with it. Every poet will. Every good poet knows that the word I'm using has a couple of different meanings, right? And he knows it. And it's not at the end of the third book that, okay, after a long time, they established an understanding and they know what they are talking about. It's right at the beginning, and he chooses his word precisely, because we know he was a good teacher. So he uses the word hard. And it's nabd hard. And nabd, again, means cash. Nabd means criticizing. Criticizing is to see the falsehood and the cash, the values of the bird, right? He chooses these words. I go back to that. So this book, to me, is the explanation of the passion of a Sufi. The passion of Arif. okay, he's explaining this passion. How? This you should know. If not, we are not successful and it's better not to continue. So let's see, how do you know? How Rumi does this? How does he explain the thing? This is what I'm trying to put together by going back and forth. Again, let's go from the beginning. First paragraph talks about a king falling in love with a handmaiden, and suddenly something doesn't work. Right? Second paragraph, he talks about this king dealing differently with the matter. Barefooted, going to mosque, going to the dream, and in dream, finding something. What was that something he found in the dream? In that paragraph you find nothing but the explanation of Rumi, who will tell you, listen, it's not only the reality, as you know, it's the universe of dream, then there is the universe of imagination, then is non-existence. And this is not something that happened by accident in that paragraph, because we see it all over again. He started to talk about the dream and dream only. He didn't go to imagination. He just mentioned that category. He came back to reality. Go to the zero paragraph of book two. Then he will talk about the imagination. Not just mentioning imagination, he will say, oh, this imagination is the key to enlightenment. Although it looks like an awful thing, but at the same time, it's the best thing we have. The image of my beloved is something that saved Abraham, the big prophet who walked to the fire fearlessly because he believed in Hap. He starts imagination there, then he will explain five other senses instead of these five superficial ones, and he will go on and on and on. So, by so many years of studying it, before starting to teach it, I found that, yes, systematically it goes like this. I put it in a nutshell now. Let's see if you could object to this. Try your best, okay? If you don't object this class, object to this. Rumi started first story he gave us as analysis of us and the problem we have with our intelligence. Second story, he made the story in one long paragraph to tell you, note the superficiality of your information and comparison. That was the parrot, wasn't it? Parrot. Then the third story was about what? Two stories. Two different kings. Two Jewish kings trying to do what? Over there, if you translate Jehud to Jew, everything is lost. In that story, the name of Jew is Jehud, means depending on personal effort. That's what it is, the word itself. If you forget the Jewish, Christian and Muslim entanglement and all that, come to basic meaning of the word, the same thing I did for Quran, right? That's what Jehud is. And two Jewish kings, they're too awful, both of them. Why? They're egocentric. And they do not accept the challenge of the idea. Self-centered. Up to here, in this three stories, I understand the teacher who is trying to explain humanity to me, but he starts from animal instinct. And say, this is the animal instinct in you. First, you discover your intelligence and you hang on it, you give it your life. Second is, you compare the stuff which are not comparable. Who could compare Judaism with Islam? Is it possible, really, to compare it? Two things, two different time, two different society, and so many centuries of blah, 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 changing it. Me personally, I want to compare Christianity with Islam. You tell me, how could I do it? What is Christianity? First of all, I should pick Catholicism or Protestants or Mormons.
Or Orthodox.
Or Allah, yeah. What can I do, you see? But you compare it, don't you? That was the second thing. Third said, look at you, you're self-centered. The animal is self-centered because this is what intelligence is all about. Then we came to the fourth story. And fourth story, which was a story, or that was a historical fact. Huh? The lion and the rabbit is a historical fact. I have to believe that really happened, that in the jungle the people went and talked to the lion and they argued. Give me a break. You see, over there is confrontation between two things. Do you remember what was that? They said, you want to divide this stuff to black and white, this and that. When they are combined, they look complicated. And you don't like complication. You simplify it. You said there is one thing to count on your personal effort, and there is one thing to trust the universe. And for you, these are two different things. It's either this or that. He said, no, 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 they are both together. Because in this, you will find the trace of that, and that, you will find the trace of this. Remember this story? Then he found a delegate of this kind of thinking going to the other side of the table. That is the representative of them, Roman Empire, or, let's be honest, the Greek philosophy and thinking, which is the base of this civilization now we are promoting. That was one, which is what? Very simple. What is this Greek philosophy that we are living in?
Logic.
Logic of what? It's not only logic, there is something else over there. Come on.
Science?
You're all in it.
Dualism?
No. Look at the attitude of that Caesar's delegate over there. He was looking for what?
Richness.
The palace.
Riches.
The palace. Richness. To become rich. Is business. Look around you. The democracy we're talking about is about what? Economy. The god of this civilization is economy, right? And the other side will say no. We are talking about another way of life, which is happiness. Being enlightened. The guy is sleeping under the tree. This is the caliph. He's not the richest fellow. In Greek philosophy, it's quite obvious that the rich people should be the politicians because they know how to earn benefits. Profit. Profitability is the main center of what we call democracy. Who are the delegates? Poor people could be senators? Where? Show me one. It's about money. The guy is looking for money, and who will tell him that it's not it? A bystander, a woman, an Arab woman. They tell him, oh no, the caliph is over there. And he has an illuminator.